are remaining standing, please take your Bibles and take them. And we're going to go back to the Lordship. So we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 6 and verse 46. Luke 6, 46. We jumped into this ship last week. And we're going to continue sailing in this ship today. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke 6 and verse number 46. Give you a few minutes to get there. I've got my Bible marked, so I have cheated. Amen. Luke 4, 6:46. Everybody there say amen. All right. This was a ship that we talked about last week dealing with the Lordship of Christ. And I do trust that you're in, you're on board, and you're going to be a good shipmate today because we're going to talk about a second portion to this. Amen. All right, Luke 6:46. I want you to read verse 46 with me, just one verse because we covered this last week. Here we go. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Amen. Jesus Christ is speaking here and coming off of the Luke's account of the Sermon of the Mount. Gives them some challenges as to how the Christian should live. He never tells you how to get saved in this chapter, but he does say if you're a Christian, if you're calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is how you should behave. And he gives several characteristics going down through here. And then he comes to verse 46. He says, now why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And we begin to talk about the Lordship. It's listed, which side is it on here? My right side, your left side, the third one down, the Lordship there. And we said this, Lordship deals more with the unlimited ruling authority or sovereign power of God as opposed to the ownership, which we covered prior to that. Ownership is dealing with personal possession of property. But we talk about the Lordship, that's the unlimited ruling authority of God or his sovereign power. And I mentioned this, I said the definition is the unlimited authority of a sovereign or a ruler, it's the one who has power or authority over something, and they exercise that, and that's the Lordship. And if we're saved, we are under God's Lordship authority, amen? Now, the key to all of this is this. We talked about last week the problems in the Lordship. The problems in the Lordship. And what did I say the problem was? I'll give it to you. The fundamental problem in Lordship is that many Christians want Christ as Savior, but not as Lord. Amen. And then we talked about the perplexity of the Lordship. And the perplexity of Lordship was this. The fundamental perplexity with Lordship is many think they have Christ as Savior and Lord, and they don't. What verse did we use? Matthew 7:21, that everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And so we looked at the problem and the perplexity last week. Today, we're going to be looking at the possibilities in the Lordship. The possibilities in the Lordship. Say, preacher, what are we talking about? The possibilities. There's several ways that you and I can respond to the Lordship of Christ as God's people. And we're going to look at three different Christians and how they responded to the Lordship of Christ. Let me let you know, one is good. One is not so good. And the last one is very bad. Very bad. You don't want to be in the last two ships. Although the second ship, we might wink the eye at you and give you mercy. The third ship, you are without excuse. Amen. Say, preacher, which one are we going to talk about today? The good one. Amen. You got to wait till after the anniversary for the other two. Amen. Well, we're looking forward to it. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. God, help us today as we look into the Lordship of Christ. And Lord, I pray that first and foremost, we might see you high and lifted up and see your Lordship authority over our lives. And Lord, we would not be in the primary ship that we talked about and want you as a Savior, but not as Lord. And Lord, we would not be in the perplexing predicament of that Lordship where we are not even in the ship at all because we don't know you as Lord. But Lord, I pray that as we look at the possibility today, we might look at our own hearts and see how we're responding to your Lordship authority over our lives. And I pray that when it's all said and done, areas that need to be confessed would be confessed. The areas that need to be forsaken would be forsaken. Lord, areas in our lives where we're going along sailing with you, we might continue sailing in the right direction. And most of all, if there's somebody that's not even in the ship, they're not saved, they're not born again, they would understand they must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, work in our midst today. Lord, change our hearts to be, Lord, reflective of your heart, that we might do your will and walk in your ways. Bless in the children's area today, Lord, and I pray that every one of our hearts might be arrested to the Holy Spirit's power and control and authority. We might hear exactly what we need to hear today for our lives to be affected for the glory of God. Then when we leave here, we will definitely leave differently than when we came in. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless in the service now. Change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And Miss Natasha's got our special this morning.
In this house we built a make-believe. Loved ones go long before seems it's time to leave. But we will learn how to grieve, to forgive and receive, till we cease and live in that city. Bye.
Amen. Thank you, Natasha, for that great special. Appreciate that. Singing holy, holy to the Lord, to the Lamb. Amen. He is high and lifted up. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad you came back for part two of the Lordship. Amen. And I'm just excited to see what God's going to do in our midst here this morning. And, you know, this Lordship is one that all of us, if we're saved, are in right now. The question is, how are we in it, though? Amen. By the way, is Jesus Christ Lord? Yes, he is. Whether you make him Lord or not, it matters not. Amen. It matters to you, but he is Lord. What did we look at last week? The Bible says every knee shall bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So it's going to happen. Now, whether you do it voluntarily or involuntarily, amen, it's up to you, but it will happen. Amen. The possibilities in the Lordship we want to talk about today, the problems, we already talked about it. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, do not the things I say. That's going to be a problem until, amen. And then we talked about the perplexity. Many are saying, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? Haven't we cast out devils in your name? Haven't we done this? And he said, away from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Not I knew you once, but I never knew you. So if you could fathom in your mind someone coming up to you and saying, hey, I remember you. You say, I never met you. I never knew you. There was never a casual meeting of the two. Can you imagine hearing those words on the very day that you expect entrance into heaven and you get exited to hell? That's amazingly frightening to me. I would never want to appear in a situation like that. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 22, that's exactly what you find. So-called professing people calling him Lord, Lord, haven't we done these things and haven't we done this? And he says, away from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Talk about wailing and gnashing of teeth and sorrow and sadness of heart. That's why the book of Revelation says there's going to be a judgment day that's coming. And the revelation judgment is not for the Christian, it's for the lost world. And he's going to judge them for all their wonderful works that they called themselves doing without the power of God. They're going to be judged for what they did with Jesus Christ. And by the way, let me correct you on your thinking. If you think this, Jesus Christ doesn't send you to hell for being bad. He sends you to hell for being a sinner that's unrepentant and didn't accept Jesus Christ's love. So people don't go to hell because they're bad. They don't go to hell because they don't go to heaven because they're good. You go to hell because you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. You reject what he did on the cross. You reject the penalty that was paid. And as a result of rejecting that, you keep your sin. And when you keep your sin, God's got to judge sin either on the cross where Jesus died for it, or in you. Say, preacher, where is that place? It's called hell, which is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And everyone in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 that came to him, he said, away from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you, will end up that way. And friend, that's not something that I can do for you. I can only preach the word of God. You've got to examine your own heart to see if that's you or not. You can say all you want to me, preacher, I'm saved and I know the Lord Jesus Christ and look at my works and look at what I did. I don't have a heaven to put you in. But Jesus does. And so we had the perplexing problem in the Lordship and the perplexities in the Lordship and the problem in the Lordship. And now we're talking about the possibilities in the Lordship. The possibility in the Lordship is that we can respond to Christ as Lord in several ways. And over the next several weeks here after the anniversary, we're going to discuss three basic ways as Christians we can respond to the Lordship of Christ. There's many ways we can respond, but I'm only going to narrow down three of them in the Word of God. And think with me if you want to. You want to. Think with me. Amen. These three characters are going to respond in these three ways. And I'm going to give them to you. And think to yourself, who might this be? The first one that we're going to look at today responds to the Lordship of Christ willingly and voluntarily. Willingly and voluntarily. The second one responds religiously and ignorantly. By the way, all of them call Jesus Lord. The third one responds disobediently and angrily. Now think with me just for a moment. What character might you put with these numbers? Number three, disobediently and angrily. Which one would be that? Number two, religiously and ignorantly. Which one would be that? They all call him Lord. And then number one, willingly and voluntarily. I'm going to give you that one. Amen. These are God's people. We're not talking about the lost that are appearing in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. We're not talking about unsaved people. We're talking about people that know the Lord. They have called on him and he knows them and they know him. We can respond to Christ's lordship willingly and voluntarily. We should be willingly under Christ's lordship and also volunteer in the lordship. By the way, if you are a wife today, you have to willingly place yourself under your husband's authority. And you have to voluntarily place yourself under his authority. He is not a commando. He's not a commander. He is not a cop, and he can't force you to place yourself under him. When you married him, in God's eyes, you had to legally or spiritually place yourself under your husband's authority and voluntarily place yourself under his authority. He couldn't make you do that. Now, if you're married here today, you're in that ship some kind of way. Now, how you're in that ship depends on you. By the way, husbands, he tells you in the verse previous to that, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So guess what? He's got to voluntarily place himself under your authority and listen to you at times as well on things that you're the expert in. By the way, some wives are the expert in finances. Guess what the husband should do? Submit or go bankrupt. Some husbands are the expert in cooking meals. Guess what the wife should do? Submit or burn up all the food. Amen. It all depends on what is there. But the Bible says submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There are certain things that she brings to the marriage. And there are certain things that he brings to the marriage. But ultimately, guess who's in charge? He is. And if he's got good sense, he'll submit in the areas that he ought to submit in. And she will voluntarily and willingly. We're going to look at a guy by the name of Isaiah tonight that exhibited a sound mind to the lordship of Christ when it comes to willingly and voluntarily being in the lordship. Isaiah 6:8, he said this, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Here am I is willingly. Here I am. Send me is voluntarily. He didn't say send Greg or send Fred or send Bob or send Bill. He said, send me. I'm a willing candidate. Here am I. I'm willing. Send me. I'm volunteering. Go over to Isaiah chapter 6 with me for a moment. So we're going to look at today Isaiah and how Isaiah exhibited a sound mind to the lordship. He exhibits one of the three ways that we'll discuss, willingly and voluntarily. So how do we get to be great shipmates aboard the lordship like Isaiah was? Notice some key principles that gave Isaiah a good voyage in the lordship. By the way, you want to be in a good position in the lordship. You don't want to be in your rockladon. Amen. You don't want to be in a storm. You don't want to be in a hurricane or a typhoon in a rocky ship. Amen. You want to be in the ship called the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what kind of storm comes, it's going to be a smooth ride. Amen. Hey, the seas may raise and they may roar and they may do all sorts of things. But if I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ's care, I'm okay. Amen. The ship can rock. The ship can reel. It can go to and fro. But as long as I'm in the Lord's hands, I'm okay. You take a baby and you put that baby in her mother's arms. And I don't care what's happening around that baby is secure in the mother's arms. Why? Mama's got me. I'm okay in mama's arm. You put that baby down and let some things happen. You know what that baby's going to do? Out of nature, going to run right back to the mommy and say, get me up in them arms. Hey. And once the baby tucks in, they're okay. Why? They're next to mama. What am I saying? We need to be where the Lord's at, in the lordship. How do we get to be great shipmates aboard the lordship like Isaiah was? Number one is the first key principle. We must see the Lord. We must see the Lord. Of course, verse 8 says what it says, but you can't start in verse 8 without going to verse number 1. Notice verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. What happened here? Isaiah saw the Lord, and you and I must see the Lord too. And by the way, he's still the Lord, whether you see him high and lifted up or not. Amen. Preacher, what are you talking about? The angels, the seraphims there, saw him, and he was high and lifted up. What were they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. So it matters not what Isaiah saw. The angels already saw it. Amen. Hey, you may be in this room right now. You might not see him as holy, but somebody else sure does. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? We must see the Lord as holy. That's the first key principle. We must get to the point when other people, other places, and other predicaments are secondary to seeing God high and lifted up. Why? He is Lord. Notice what it says here. In the year that King Uzziah died. So in other words, God said, let me get somebody out of the picture here so that you can see me clear. What happened? Uzziah was a great man of God. He was a great king. And Isaiah was enamored with him. And he followed him closely, probably closer than he followed the Lord. God had to get him out of the way. And what did he say? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw, notice the term, also the Lord. What does that mean? That means that Uzziah had to be pretty close up because my eyes were already up. My eyes aren't down. Now, if my eyes are up on the Lord, I shouldn't be seeing Uzziah. And if my eyes are on Uzziah, I'm not going to see the Lord. So that means that he took Uzziah and he put Uzziah up and he saw Uzziah. When Uzziah died and went down, he could see the Lord clearly. I wonder how many things are in your life and in my life today that if the truth be known, we have that more important than God. Be careful. God may take it away from you. God might take it away from you. It may be that husband. It may be that wife. It may be that child. It may be that job. It may be that person. It may be that place. It may be that thing. But you better be careful what you put in God's lordship position in your life. What am I saying here? For Isaiah, it came at the death of his great king Uzziah. People, places, and predicaments, he is still Lord. We must see the Lord high and lifted up. That's the first key principle to being a great shipmate aboard the Lordship and being able to say willingly and voluntarily, I'm in this ship. I must see the Lord. Say, preacher, what comes next? We must see ourselves. That's the second key principle. Notice what it says down there. Verse number 2 describes the seraphim. Those are the special angels there with the 6 wings. And it says down there they covered their face with 2 of them or 20 of them. And they did fly with 2. And matter of fact, verse 2, above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With 20 he covered his face, 2 he covered his face. And with 20 or 2 he covered his feet, and with 20 he did fly. One cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Just the sound of their voices made verse 4 happen. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So Uzziah has died. He's gone down. And Isaiah is looking up now. He sees the Lord. He sees these angels. He sees them crying, holy, holy, holy. And he says the temple began to shake. Glory to God. You know you're in a place that's holy when that happens. Amen. That'll put an earthquake to shame. And so he said this began to happen in verse number 4. And the key principle number 2, we must see ourselves. Then said I, notice down there in verse number 5, woe is me. Why? For I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What am I saying? The first principle, I've got to see the Lord. The second principle, I've got to see myself. Isaiah saw himself. Chapters 1 through 5, Isaiah saw Israel in her sin, and he's blowing them out of the water. Chapter 6, he comes to a screeching halt because he sees God and his sin. And you know what he says? He's not saying, oh, woe is you, Israel. Woe is you for your abominable things. Woe is you, a nation of Israel. Woe is you. When he sees God, you know what he says? Woe is me. He's not blowing Israel out of the water anymore. Why? He's got a clear view of God. And when you see a clear view of God, you know who you see most of all? Yourself. It's like looking in a mirror. And the reflection is not good what you see.
I go back to the day that I got saved. I wept like a baby because I saw myself in the sight of God. And I saw myself as a naked, barren sinner that couldn't save himself. I had nothing to offer God. All the other time I was saying, well, God, I got some work for you. I'll give you some money. I'll do this. I'll do this. And it came down to the fact when I saw God, he said, you're empty, son. You've got nothing. I've got it all. What can you possibly give me that I don't already have? And I had to come to the realization the only thing I have is sin. And the only thing I am is a sinner. And I have nothing to bargain with. And I was ashamed before God. Why? I saw him like Isaiah did. I saw him high and lifted up. I saw his train filling the temple. And I had to repeat like Isaiah did, woe is me. I'm undone. I thought I was on my way to heaven, but I found out I'm on my way to hell. That's not where I want to go. That's not where I want to go. I thought my destination was one direction, but when I saw God, I found my direction was totally different. Hey, that's contrary to the folks that said, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these things in your name? I was going to hear, away from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. And I was hearing that when I saw God. I said, no, that's not how I want to be. That's not how I want to go down. That's not what I want to happen to me. What am I saying? Willingly and voluntarily, before we can ever get to that point, we've got to see the Lord. We've got to see ourselves. We must see ourselves in the sight of our Savior. And you can't, let me tell you this, you can't accurately see yourself until you see God. We spend most of our time measuring ourselves up against the next Christian. God is not interested in you measuring yourself up against. Now, just imagine this. Look, I go out there with Faith, and I'm going to play Faith in some basketball. Come on, Faith. I will wear her out. But let Michael Jordan come on the scene. And guess what? He would wear me out. But wait a minute. Bring LeBron James right now at Michael Jordan's age. LeBron James would probably wear Michael Jordan out right now. Except Michael Jordan's 55. He know the old man tricks. Amen. But that's what we like to do. We want to compare ourselves. Well, see, I can beat Faith. Yeah, but you can't beat Michael Jordan. Comparing ourselves by ourselves, that's not why. The only way we're going to see who we really are is to see God. That's the only way we're going to see who we really are. Now, 2 Corinthians says it this way. Let me read the verse to you. You can turn it if you want to, but you might not get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Paul said this. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. What are they saying? He's saying these guys are looking at each other saying, well, I'm pretty good compared to you. Well, I'm pretty good compared to you. Well, I'm pretty good. Somebody can always one-up you. There's always somebody that can one-up you. Nobody can one-up God. God is high as he comes, amen? And so if you're going to compare yourself, don't compare yourself by another Christian. Compare yourself by the standard. The standard is God. The standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah said, compared to Israel, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty high on the hog. You sinners, I'll bless y'all. God chose me to speak to y'all, you wicked people. Amen. Compared to Israel, he was probably pretty good. But then he saw God high and lifted up. And he had to say, woe is me. I'm blasting Israel out of the water. But I'm no better. I am an Israelite. I'm one of them. What am I saying? When we see how great God is, we'll see how we really are. Not how we think we are. You know, if you don't see somebody else, you think you look pretty good. You ever got yourself together? You're in the mirror, you're like, I look pretty good. Then you go out and see somebody that really looks good. And then you go look back in the mirror. But you thought you were looking good until you saw somebody else. Somebody else got the same hairstyle you got. You thought, yeah, I got it going on. Then you go out and see somebody else got it. It looks better on them. What was me? When they got on the suit, you say, hey, he got a Pierre Cardin. And they got the same suit. And they're shaped like this, and you're kind of shaped like that. And you thought, man, I was looking good. Or they got your shoes on, whatever it is. You look good until you see somebody else that has the same thing. Hey, wait a minute. It doesn't look so good on me now. Comparing ourselves by ourselves, not wise. Hey, Isaiah said, hey, look, I got this view. I've got this vision. I was comparing myself to others, Israelites. But when I saw God, I had to say, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm unclean. How are we really going to get to the point where we're voluntarily and willingly in the Lord's leadership and our Lord's lordship? Number one, I must see the Lord. He said, I saw also the Lord. Number two, the key principle, I got to say, woe is me. I got to see myself. I'm undone. Notice down there in verse number six. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. After he saw himself, I want you to notice that he could not cleanse himself. He couldn't clean himself. He could just say, I'm undone. He could just say, I'm unclean. He could just say, I'm amongst these people that are the same way that I am. He couldn't clean himself up. God in his grace and his mercy said, now, when you see me and when you see yourself, you know what you'll do? You'll look right back up to me, because I'm the only one that can do something about it. Makeovers are not going to do it. Extreme makeovers are not going to do it. Extreme makeovers are not going to do it. I don't care how extreme you get, you will still not make the makeover that God wants to make, because you must be born again. And you cannot birth yourself. Amen. Now, you can give birth to sin all day long, but you cannot give birth at all. Once he got to this point where he saw the Lord and he saw himself, he recognized he couldn't cleanse himself, but God in his grace and his mercy came back and cleansed him. He said, look, your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. I've dealt with it. Hey, friends, it's only when we see the blood of Jesus Christ. It's only when we see the cross of Calvary. It's only when we see Jesus Christ high and lifted up on the cross, hanging for your sins and my sins, and we recognize and acknowledge that should have been me, that we can receive the gift, believe his death, believe his burial, believe his resurrection, believe it for yourself. It's the only way you can do it. You can't get it yourself. Let me share with you, though, when he saw the Lord, I saw the Lord. He saw himself, and he saw he couldn't cleanse himself. He did something. You see down in verse 7 again, he said, he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lord, this is just thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I want you to notice verse number 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Once we see the Lord, once we see ourselves and recognize we can't cleanse ourselves, and once we get that cleansing, we can see principle number 3. We must surrender to the Lord. Verse number 9. Now, I want you to compare verse number 1 with verse number 8. Notice in verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw, what's that word? Also the Lord. Now, come down to verse number 8. What does he say after his sin is purged? Also, I heard the voice of the Lord. So this happened rather rapidly. I saw the Lord lifted up after Uzziah died, and when my sin was purged, also I heard. What happens here? Once he got to the point where he saw God high and lifted up, he got his eyes off of people. He got his eyes off of places. He got his eyes off of predicaments. He looked up and he got the cleansing. He says, also, I had spiritual hearing. I could hear something. Hey, until you get along with God and see God, you won't hear a thing, friend. As long as you've got people, places, and predicaments in the place of God, you won't hear God's voice. You'll meander and walk around aimlessly and shiftlessly. Or shiftingly, I should say. Why? Because you didn't see the Lord. But he says down there, also, at the same time that all this stuff happened, right after all this stuff happened, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, and he hears this conversation, whom shall I send and who will go for us? We must surrender to the Lord. After he saw himself, after seeing the Lord, he surrendered. Let me share a devotion with you that I read this week from Isaiah 6:8. It says this. You can attend church services. You can read your Bible. And you can pray. But if sin fills your heart, you will not see God. You will know when you have encountered God because your life will no longer be the same. Amen. He goes on to say this. Isaiah was concerned with the death of King Uzziah, the able king of Judah, but was disoriented to his heavenly king because it was clouded. Then something happened that forever changed Isaiah's life. God and all of his awesome majesty appeared to him in the temple, surrounded by heavenly creatures. Instantly, God's presence made Isaiah aware of his sinfulness. One of the seraphims came to him with a burning coal and cleansed Isaiah of his sin. Immediately, Isaiah began to hear things he had never heard before. Now he was aware of a conversation in heaven concerning who might be worthy to be God's messenger to the people. This prompted Isaiah's eager response to say, "Here am I, send me." Now that God had cleansed Isaiah, he was aware of heavenly concerns and prepared to offer himself in God's service. Whereas Isaiah had been preoccupied with earthly matters and King Uzziah, now his only concern was the activity of God. Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, I would have never heard my call to preach if I was preoccupied with earthly matters. But in the quiet, in the still, when I saw God, he says, "Hey, look, son, I want you. I want to send you. I want you to be my messenger. I want you to preach." I must admit, I wasn't willingly a volunteer at first. Say, "Preacher, how were you?" I was much like number three, kind of disobediently. "Lord, how about getting somebody else? I did the old Moses." But Isaiah here, once he heard that, willingly and voluntarily offered his services. He says, "Here am I, willingly, send me voluntarily." What got Isaiah to that point? He saw the Lord. He saw himself. And then he said, "I want to surrender my service to you. I'm aware of the conversation in heaven. I'm aware of the need. I'm aware of what you want me to do. I'm aware of where you want me to go. So Lord, don't look any further. You don't have to ask who's going to go. Here am I, voluntarily, send me willingly." I wonder today where we're at. Let me give you some good company that's in Isaiah's company. Several other biblical characters said the same thing. In Genesis 22 and verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." You come over to Genesis 31 and verse 11. The angel of God spake unto me in a dream saying, "Jacob." And I said, "Here am I." So already we've got Abraham, that's pretty good company. I've got Jacob, better known as Israel, that's pretty good company. Then we come over to Exodus chapter number 3 and verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here am I." So we've got Abraham, we've got Jacob, we've got Moses. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 4. The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." That's some good company. You got Samuel. You got Jacob. You got Moses. You got Abraham. These are good patriarchs of God. What should be our response in the Lordship? "Here am I. Don't look any further. I hear the heavenly conversation. I've seen God. I've seen myself. I've been cleansed. The Lordship of God is upon me. Here am I. Send me." That should be our response. But we've got so many of God's children ducking the call. Ducking the call. And we wonder why our nation is where it's at. Because nobody's saying, "Here am I." We're saying, "There I went. I'm not here anymore. I don't want to surrender." One of my worst fears was when I got surrendered to preach, God was going to send me back to Joliet, Illinois. I did not want to go to Joliet. My wife feared they sent us to New Brunswick, New Jersey. She didn't want to go back there. God sent us to Tucson. We didn't want to come here. So where would you be happy? Probably no place. But then you know what we had to do? We had to look up, see our Lord. We had to see ourselves. We had to recognize that we've been cleansed for this very purpose. And say, here am I. Send me. Even to Tucson. Even to Joliet. But it's better than Green Bay. Gotta pick up Brother Duffy. What am I saying? What should be our response? Should be, hear my Lord, send me. Hear my Lord, use me. Hear my Lord, make me. Hear my Lord, mold me. Hear my Lord, melt me. Hear my Lord, build me. Hear my Lord, fill me. Hear my Lord, take me. Hear my Lord, speak through me. Hear my Lord, work in me. Hear my Lord, work through me. Lord, work on me. Whatever you need, Lord, I'm a willing volunteer. I heard the call. I'm privy to the conversation in glory. And I understand you want somebody to send. Willingly, I surrender. Oh, voluntarily, I'll go. Here am I, send me. What should be our statement? Here am I, send me. Willingly volunteer aboard the Lordship. Whatever is needed, Lord, sign me up. We sing, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. We should make that our daily prayer about aboard the Lordship. By the way, this is still talking about God's people. We're not talking about the lost. This is God's man. We say, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. And that should be our daily prayer aboard the Lordship. Every day when I wake up, Lord, if you can use anything, use me. Here am I. I'm privy to the conversation. I know you want ambassadors today. I know you want soul winners today. I know you want somebody to show love today. I know you want somebody to forgive through today. I know you have somebody that you want to be kind today. I know you've got somebody to befriend someone today. I know you've got somebody. Lord, here am I. Send me. Don't send the next person, Lord. I've seen your vision. I've been seeing myself. You cleanse me and you've called me. You're saying, who's going to go? And I say, here am I. Send me. I'm in the Lordship. I need to be in there willingly and voluntarily. Here am I. Send me. There's no better way to abide in the Lordship than willingly and voluntarily. Voyages are always better this way, on the sea of life in the Lordship. We can respond to Christ's Lordship willingly and voluntarily, and this is the first and best way. The next two ways that we look at aren't going to be as good as this one. But this is the best way. If you've seen God, you can't help but do anything else. You can't help but do anything else. When you see God, when you see Him, I don't know about you, but that day I got saved, I was happy as I could be. Now, if the Lord would ask me to go to Joliet that day, I would have went. My wife will attest to you. When I first got saved, preacher, I went back to Pastor White. I said, I'm getting out of the military. He said, what you do? I said, I'm going back to Joliet. I'm getting everybody saved. Pastor Bennett. I said, I'm going back to Joliet. I'm getting everybody saved. He said, what you going to do then? I said, I don't know. He said, that's a bad plan. You need to wait till you get more instruction from God. But as soon as I got saved, I'm getting out of the military. I'm telling everybody how good God is, what I got. I'm going to get the whole world saved. Then what you going to do? I got a clue. Only thing I knew is that I was saved. That's all I knew. I got a little wisdom behind me. And God said, what if I call you to Joliet? No. Well, you know, look at the time. We get a little smart. And we forget how it all got started. Here, my Lord, cleanse me. I couldn't cleanse myself. And I can't send myself. The cleansing comes first. The sending comes second. Here, my Lord, you got to cleanse me. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I see you high and lifted up. I see myself. You're the only one that can do this. Once I got saved, listen to the heavenly conversation. He said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? He said, I heard that. I heard that. Me. Ooh, 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 ooh. Me. Send me. In our family, Joshua, we say, we got some broccoli, Joshua. Got some candy. Got something we want to give away. It's kind of sweet. You know what Joshua's saying? Here am I. I'll be the taste tester. Broccoli. The rest of the kids, they'll stomach it. They'll make faces. Joshua just straight up say, ain't gonna happen. First one, step forward. Joshua take three steps back. That's how some Christians do. When it comes to the Lord saying, who will go for us? Whom can I send? And we take a step back. Here am I. Send me. What's the first way we can be in the Lordship? What's the first possibility? Willingly and voluntarily in the Lordship. I don't know about you. It's really the only way to be. Any other ways really going to be more work for you fighting against God's will. It really is. You're going to see the next two people. It's not good for them. And you probably can identify with them. I know I could. I know I could. But I'm so glad that I can identify with Isaiah too. Where he said, here am I, send me. There's been many times when I volunteered for the Lord's service, for the Lordship. The question is, what does God want you to do today? How does he want you to respond? And if you stop that willingly and voluntarily, you're docked at a good place. Because he wants you to be willingly and voluntarily aboard the Lordship. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and looking around. To get in the Lordship, though, he had to be saved. He had to be born again. My question is, have you been born again? The Bible is clear, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Many will say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? He said, I'll say to you, away from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Is Jesus Christ your Lord, and is he your Savior? Have you come to the place where you accepted Christ's payment on the cross for your sins? The gospel, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, it's for you. Have you received that? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Lord, bless these next moments of invitation. Pray that your hand may guide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would say, preacher, if I were to die right now, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, although I am concerned about it. I definitely don't want to hear, I never knew you. Away from me, ye that work iniquity, with every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to be honest before God and say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I want you to pray for me. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this auditorium. I'm not sure. I think I'm a Christian. I think I'm born again, but I'm not positive. Would you pray for me? I won't come and pick you out. I won't call you. I'll just acknowledge your hand. You can put it right back down. Anyone like that at all? Man, woman, boy, or girl. Next question is this. How are you abiding in the Lordship? Have you seen the Lord high and lifted up? And when you saw him, did you see yourself? Number three. And when you saw yourself, did you get a cleansing from his precious blood? And then number four, have you surrendered since he's cleansed you for his will? And that's a question that only you can answer. Have you surrendered to his will? You say, preacher, but I don't like his will. I didn't ask you that. I just said surrender to it. You'll find you like a whole lot of things if you just surrender first. Ponder in your own heart, what is God's will for you? What does he want you to do? If you're voluntarily and willingly surrendering to his will, he'll show you, he'll lead you. Your goal is to say, here am I. Send me, use me, make me. Father, bless now the Christians that are contemplating your will for their lives. And I pray that, Lord, we would be like Isaiah. We might see you high and lifted up, see ourselves, see that we can't cleanse ourselves, but you can, and then see that you want to use us for others' sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, don't looking around as Miss Natasha plays. Where are you at today when it comes to the Lordship? Have you seen the Lord high and lifted up? Isaiah said, I had to come to the point where Uzziah was removed. Maybe in your life there's a person that has to be removed. Maybe there's a place that needs to be removed. Maybe there's a predicament or a problem that needs to be removed. Whatever it is that needs to be removed, God has no problem in removing it. How are you today in the Lord's ship? Is it willingly? Here am I. Voluntarily? Send me. My friend, it's not going to happen until you see the Lord high lifted up. It's not going to happen until you say, woe is me, I'm undone, I need a cleansing. It's not going to happen until you say, here am I, send me. I've heard the heavenly conversation. Here am I, send me. Isaiah said, I've heard. And I'm responding. Here am I. Send me. The possibilities of the Lordship, willingly and voluntarily. Best way to be. How is your response? Isaiah exhibited a sound mind to the Lordship. He said, you know what? I thought I had it together. But when I truly saw the Lord, he showed me who I truly was. And he showed me what the true need was. And it's for me to volunteer. It's for you and I to volunteer. God could use angels, but he prefers to use man. Why man? Because he's redeemed man and put his spirit in man. And he wants to show his glory through man. That the Holy Spirit's power is more than sufficient to use in the work of God. Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. I'm in the Lordship. Willingly. Voluntarily. Only way to be. I said, preacher, what if he tells me to go someplace I don't want to go? God would never send you to a place that he could not, through his grace, keep you and do through you what he wants you to do. He would never give you a problem that he can't solve through the Spirit's power. He could never put you in a predicament that's too tough for his spirit. He would never put you in front of people or in charge of people that are too difficult to deal with without his power and spirit. He would never put you in a losing situation. He wants to show his power and his might through you. Isaiah had a stiff-necked crowd to go to in Israel. But guess what? With God's power, he could do all things through Christ, which strengthened him. And so can you, and so can I. Father, thank you once again that we see Isaiah had the first response that we'll look at, and it was willingly, and it was voluntarily. He gave of himself to go, to do, to be, to say, use me. Send me, make me, melt me, mold me. Lord, help that to be our prayer every morning when we wake up. Lord, I know you want to do something with my life today, and I'm surrendering to whatever it is that you want me to do. And then, Lord, help us to fulfill that will through your saving mercy's power, through the Spirit's will. And help us, Lord, to continue to say it moment by moment, day by day. Here am I, use me. Here am I, send me. Lord, may that be our prayer. Every moment of every hour, when we start taking it back, help us, Lord, to be reminded of the great penalty that Jesus Christ paid on the cross to purchase us and surrender to the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ and do his will. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for being a God that changes us when we see you high and lifted up and we recognize we're undone and we're unclean. And we can be an ambassador as you send us. And make us what you want us to be in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor White's got our closing announcements. Don't forget, we are back tonight, 5 o'clock for communion. If you're a member, we definitely want to have you back. Pastor White.